I was hoping to ask you out, see what your plans are Saturday. I know there's a thing downtown. We could get food along the way. I'm trying to think about ways I can help, what I can do. I'm planning to make some signs. I could make one just for you. To be young, in love, at the end of the world. To be young, in love, at the end of the world. My parents don't give me time. My father dismisses all my plans. They tell me that life ain't fair. And when I get older, I'll understand. To be young, in love, at the end of the world. To be young, in love, at the end of the world.
That's Sean William Clarke with a live version of Young and in Love at the End of the World. I'm Jan Hall for Folk Roots Radio. We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. It's now Friday morning, my second interview of the day. And I got him in now. I think I'm on a roll. I'm going to have lots of fun. I have interviewed Sean a couple of times before. First, I think around the time of the launch of his album, William. Which was one of my favorite albums of, I think, 2015?
14. Yeah.
Fabulous, fabulous album. And also for Topaz, before Topaz was launched. Topaz is its most recent album. That's the album where you can listen to a fabulous version of Young and in Love. But Sean is with me. He loves to play live, which is why we got him to bring his guitar into what I like to call the mobile studio.
Yes.
It's actually a hotel room at the conference, but we have fun. So it's great to have you back with us. Now, you've been pretty busy over the last year or so.
Yeah, it's really great to be back here chatting with you. We get a chance to do it every couple of years, and it's always nice. But I've been really busy playing. I did a couple shows in Europe and a bunch of shows in Europe and shows in the East Coast. And I released an album since we last talked. So I don't even know where to start. It's been a lot happening.
Well, Topaz is a little different from William because it's more of an electric album. And one of the things you say in your bio, and I think it really fits, is that there is definitely a little bit of a 70s singer-songwriter feel to this. I think you actually also mention the drummer Neil Young's Harvest album.
Oh, yeah,
I wanted
to
get you just explain that, but it definitely has a really nice feel to it.
Yeah, Kenny Buttrey's drumming on Harvest. I don't know why that just I was obsessed with his drawing. It's so simple. It's just, and so perfect. And I don't even know where it started, why I just started listening to that drumming. And I couldn't even really tell you how that drumming influenced the album, but something about it was just sitting with me the whole time when I was thinking about making the album. And also Gordon Lightfoot's 80s albums, like Salute and Shadows, kind of overlooked albums of his. And because of the production for the most part, but there's some really magical moments on those albums. There's kind of these songs like Whisper of the North and Let It Ride that are like kind of chorusy electric guitar with synth pads in the background, you know, and there's something about that sound that I was really drawn to. And when I started working on the album with James, my producer, I showed him those tracks and we kind of used that as kind of a jumping off point to make the album.
You know, one of the things I love about your songwriting is, and I think I've said this before, is it's very quirky because mm-hmm. you'll get an idea for a song and then, you know, it's often, you know, traveling somewhere. Or I think we were talking when we were setting up today about the fact that your song Transat Club, which is on the William album, mm-hmm. is a story about a photographer seeing someone else, I think, another photographer at the Transat Club in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
It became the story for the song.
Yeah, it was literally just, you know, me and my friend were at a show. We were actually at a show at the Great Hall, and we saw this guy, Colin, who's a wonderful photographer. He's always at all the great shows. You know you're at a good show if he's there taking pictures. He's just one of those guys. And he had an assistant, I guess. So he had a girl helping him out. And then me and my friend were just kind of jokingly saying, like, what if this was a first date, you know? And then I wrote that song kind of about it and set it at Transac instead of Great Hall because it's just a better name.
And Young and in Love is kind of a similar thing, you know, telling very much a story song, telling the story of the individuals in it.
Yeah, and that song was, I was thinking about a couple things when I wrote that. I was thinking about what it's like to be young now in the world we're in and having to deal with, you know, your normal everyday young experiences like falling in love with someone or having a crush or these sort of things. And at the same time, having to deal with this awful fascism that's seeping through the States and coming up into Canada, you know. And, you know, I pictured this. And then I was trying to write a song that was kind of very simple, kind of like Big Star's 13, which is, I think, one of the best songs about teenage love ever written. And so I had those kind of thoughts in mind. That's why it's a very kind of simple song, simply written, and something that if you were to dig a little deeper into the lyrics, you might get something a little more out of, you know. They're making signs, they're making protest signs, obviously, in the song. And I was thinking about, like, the Women's March, you know, that was something I went to in Toronto. And, you know, and you see young people at these things, and you're like, well, this is like, this is just part of their life. You know, they're, you know, teenagers who will have to go, you know, try to march for women's rights in 2018, but also still have to, like, you know, deal with the normal nonsense that you have to deal with when you're a teenager. So I don't know how well I captured it, but...
I think you captured it very well. It seems to me that you actually don't find it too difficult to obviously come up with the material, but mm-hmm. actually the writing of the songs seems to flow very naturally for you. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
It's true when it happens. Like, I don't write a lot or very fast necessarily, but when I get an idea, usually comes out pretty fast. If I get an idea, if I find the right melody and I get a concept, a lot of times that'll just come like over a couple days, and then there'll be minor tweaking down the road.
But, so does that mean you might be noodling away and then a melody starts to come?
Yeah.
And then you play with that a little bit more and then start to think about what lyrical structure you'd like to put to it?
Exactly, yeah. It usually starts with the guitar strumming something or picking something that I find interesting. And then the melody has to come next. And if I find a melody that I really like, then it's a matter of like, well, what's this song about? So when I'm jamming out something, I'll be like, you know, just humming, you know, and then words will kind of come out of that. And then it's like, okay, well, that's a nice line. What could that line be about? What is this? What is the story here? And then hopefully from there, a song comes out of it. And of course, that's usually the way it happens, but not always. Sometimes it comes different ways.
And it feels like you're not bound on by structure when you write songs. And I think that, to me, that's one of the strengths of your albums. And, you know, I mentioned that, you know, I loved the last two albums that you put out. Other critics did too. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that seems quite clear is that you have crossover appeal. You know, obviously in the folk community, you're at the conference each year, very well respected here, but also in indie music generally, I think people really appreciate the music that you're coming out with.
Yeah, I, you know, if I can get them to listen to it, I mean, usually people like it. It's just that whole thing, right? How do you get it into people's ears? And I still haven't figured that out. But I think it's pretty well liked when people finally hear it, which I really appreciate. I mean, there's a lot of time and effort put into it, so I hope it is.
You have your guitar with you. Mm-hmm. We talked just before we started the interview about what you were going to play, and I think you're going to play a new song for us. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this, I think, is going to become a bit of a theme that I play new songs before anyone hears them with you, because our last interview I played three songs, I think, from that would end up on Topaz, and they're totally, not totally different, but there's a lot of differences between, if anyone goes back and listens and then listens to the album versions, there's a lot of difference. But this is a song that I just wrote recently, and that's why I want to keep playing it, because it's so much fun. I've been listening to a lot of like power pop. That's been a real influence on me lately. So Nick Lowe, of course, is one of my biggest influences, and some of his early 70s albums are power pop masterpieces. And then, of course, later, now he writes these beautiful pop tunes, and he's still a wonderful songwriter. And so I started writing a little bit like that, and that's what this song came out of. And it's called Everybody Gets Sad Sometimes. And yeah, it's, I don't know, I guess this is what it's going to be.
This is Sean William Clark with Everyone Gets Sad Sometimes, live for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference.
I still recall my darkest dreams. I trip and fall, I try to scream, but no one hears. Of maudlin nights I dare not speak. I close my eyes, my knees get weak, I shake with fear. And I remember that everybody gets sad sometimes. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Even me and you. It's on the web, on TV shows, it's in my ear, on radios, it's everywhere. A constant roar of apathy, it starts to build inside of me. I just don't care anymore. And I remember that everybody gets sad sometimes. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Even me and you. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Everybody gets sad sometimes. Even me and you. The artist's life is many things. It's broken hearts and broken strings. It's good things too.
That's Sean William Clark with Everyone Gets Sad Sometimes, a new song live for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. Sean William Clark is our special guest in the studio. It's always great to be able to chat, catch up about his music. Now, I think you were traveling in Europe this past summer. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I went to Europe for the first time last fall. Me and Abigail LaPelle went, and we were in Germany, Belgium, and Netherlands, and it was amazing. It was just such a wonderful experience, so I tried to figure out how to get back as soon as possible. So I ended up getting in contact with this small festival in Reykjavik, Iceland, luckily I was able to play it, and so from there I sat at more shows in Germany, and then one show up in Denmark, and it was a blast. It was so much fun.
Yeah, tell us about the Icelandic experience, mm-hmm. because they seem to have a very vibrant music scene for a very small country. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because it's so insular that people have to make their own music as much as bring other people in. But tell us a little bit about your experience there.
Yeah, I as an outsider's experience, I feel like everybody in Iceland is super talented at something. Now, my Icelandic friends disagree with me when I say that, and probably rightly so. But I just found, we were doing this festival, and it was a three-day festival. And every day there was four or five local artists and then three international artists, roughly. And I was one of the international artists. Every day there was at least one local artist who was between the ages of like 16 and 20, who were amazing, like fully formed, just beautiful songwriters, wonderful stage presence. And I was so amazed. And, poetry is really important in Iceland. Like, poetry is everywhere. And apparently they've got like the highest percentage, like per capita, of published authors in the world. So I think the arts is just something they appreciate over there, and from very young to very old, so it was really nice to see. And the people were lovely, just really nice people. And it was a wonderful experience. I'm actually going back in November.
Cool. Yeah. Topaz was very well received on the music scene. Tell us a little bit about the live Sean William Clark experience.
Well, when I'm over in Europe, it's a solo thing. and sometimes in Canada, because it's hard to pay people these days. But I think the experience is, hopefully I'm in a good mood and I can, chat up the audience very well, I think. hopefully you can get them on board and get them laughing and coming along on these experiences. And then usually it's mostly my songs, and I'll throw a few covers in for fun. Like, I cover that Nick Lowe tune I Read a Lot basically all the time. It's one of my favorite songs ever written. So, yeah, that's kind of the experience.
Now, you're Toronto-based. When you play locally, and thinking about this album having that sort of electric, you mentioned 70s, 80s singer-songwriter feel, do you get to play many band shows?
I do some. And for a while, I was doing the electric guitar thing, but I've kind of just fallen back into my acoustic guitar. It's great. I really love having the band, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm doing the showcase in a couple days. And we have my band for a few songs, so that's going to be really, really great. But yeah, I love the band experience and would do more if I could.
When are you next going to head into the studio? You mentioned you played one new song for us.
Mm-hmm. It's in the infancy stage, I guess. It's I've only got maybe four songs or so, four or five songs. So almost enough to get started. And it'll be a matter of messaging my producer, James Bunton, and trying to figure out what his schedule looks like, because he's a busy guy. And so hopefully we'll at least get the pre-production going in the new year.
You mentioned you've gone back to playing more the acoustic than the electric. Does that mean that the album you produce is going to be more like William, which is more of an acoustic album than Topaz?
I'm feeling like it might be somewhere in between. it might end up being more acoustic. But like I said, I've been listening to so much like power pop and like pop rock and stuff that it may be acoustic, but it may be a whole other vibe altogether than William. You know, William was heavily influenced by like 70s folk, like British folk, especially like Richard and Linda Thompson, Sandy Denny, Bert Jansz, things like that. So I think it's going to pull away from that influence a fair bit, but I'm not too sure. I guess we'll
you know,
find
the,
it.
You're one of the most creative people I know. So
oh, thank you.
It certainly makes me excited when you sit there and say, well, I'm not really sure exactly mm-hmm. where we're going to go. What I do know is that whatever you produce is going to be certainly very interesting and definitely worth sitting down to take a listen to. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
I would suggest just going to my website, which is www.seanwilliamclark.com, and it's Sean, S-H-A-W-N, and Clark with an E. That's a good place to start, and then all my links are up there, and you can follow me on all the things, the Instagrams and the Twitters and the Facebooks if you want. That's a good place to go.
We have time for one more song. We're going to dip into Topaz and mm-hmm. play one of my favorite songs from an album with songs that, I mean, I love them all. We're going to play The Tourists, mm-hmm. which is about a trip to New York. Is that right?
Yeah, it's basically entirely based on a true story where me and some friends went to New York for a weekend, and all the things in the song pretty much happened with minor tweaks. The biggest lie in the song is that I don't own a queen-size bed. I'm not like a Rankin or something. I can't afford that stuff.
And what about the bed bugs?
That happened. That happened. My friend ended up getting all bites up and down her arm. So we lucked out. We were on the other side of the place, so we didn't get any. So we just got like a free Airbnb. So it was good in my experience. Maybe not so much my friends, though.
And who was the harmony vocals on the album?
There was a few. Abigail sang on a few tracks. Olenka Krakus, who I used to play with in a band called Olenka and the Autumn Lovers many years ago. I was lucky enough to get her in for a few songs. And Marival, Anna Horvath, wonderful young singer whose music is, I can't even find the right adjectives for it. She, if you get a chance, look up Marival. She's brilliant. Yeah, Marival is the mouse in The Tourists, so... She's
it's
great.
A fabulous song. Bedbugs, rats, Sean William Clark in New York City. Mm-hmm. This is The Tourists from the album Topaz. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and I'm Jan Hall. And Sean, as always, it's an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's great. Anytime.
Went to New York. We spent a weekend in Bushwick. The price was kind of steep, but oh well, we're in New York. The first day we saw a cockroach, jumped up and scurried across the hardwood. We all kind of laughed and said, oh well, we're in New York. We saw a rat down in the subway. It looked up at me with indifference, as if to say, what's your problem? You're in New York City. Rat got off at 23rd Street, but we stayed on to Rockefeller. The people pushed, said, get out of the way, you're in New York. On a worn out bench, I stopped to take in the racket. To live. cigarette, burned a hole in my jacket. From New York, we got a message from Lauren who said she bites up and down, she can barely close her left hand. I found a couple in my queen bed, hopping around, they were laughing in my face. Crushed them and flushed them and said, go back to New York. I've all my regrets, and I may find solutions in these tall silhouettes and noise.